Sorry for the delay, everyone. We're working joint appropriations work, and we're trying to get our committees out. Roll call.
Roll call for Friday, January 23rd. Anderson, District 2.
Here.
Anderson, District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Yes.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Oh, he has excuses. That's right.
Emmerich.
Here.
Escobel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Kinski.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott. Von Platern? Von Platern?
Here.
Wasserberger?
Here.
President Nicholas?
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
Senator Meyer, we're glad to have you back. We do want to quarantine you back in the House. Nobody shake hands with him. Welcome back. Okay. The prayer is by Pastor Mender. He'd like to have the microphone, but I don't know. I've heard that he's going to challenge us. Maybe we could cut the mic off today. We'll see. Pastor Mender.
Mr. President and Senators, I just want to thank you for the privilege of praying for you this week. And let's pray. I'm going to pray for you today, Mr. President Nicholas. Our Heavenly Father, we pause again at the start of this day's session to acknowledge you as God and ask for your help with all that needs to be done today. We thank you that we live in a country and a state that enjoys liberty and freedom of speech. Thank you for these senators and for the Senate staff, and help them always remember they serve the people of Wyoming. Thank you we have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And today, Father, we pray for the student of the week from Laramie High School, Paige Levi, his last day here. We pray as he goes back to high school for his senior year and on to UW that you would bless him and prosper him. And today, Father, I pray for these senators. From Sheridan, Dave Kinski. From Gillette, Jeff Wasserberger. From Lander, Cale Case. From Riverton, Eli Bebout. From Casper, Bill Landon. And finally, Lord, the senator from Laramie, the man who led the successful coup to take the presidency from Tony Ross. The honorable, the esteemed, the magnificent, the President Nicholas, I can't read your handwriting here. President Phil Nicholas. Father, please bless President Nicholas and all these senators and staff as they finish this second week of business. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, Pastor, we've sure enjoyed your having you this week. It's been fun not only having the prayer, but having some humor along the way. We do would like to give you this legislative coin. I think you got one of the other coins, but it's just a small piece of our thanks for your coming here. Thanks for giving us your week.
Thank you.
Thanks. I think we're at that order of business of approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of January the 22nd, 2015, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, chairman.
You've heard the the report. Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. My thoughts exactly. The doctor of the day is Dr. Dobson from Cheyenne. If you'd give him a warm welcome. And our nurse is Diane O'Dell, also from here in Cheyenne with the medical center. Give her a warm welcome. And if you are called upon to see Senator Meyer, please put on your gloves. Today in history, in 1899, the residents of Kemmer voted to incorporate. In 1901, the two legislative houses in Wyoming met in a joint session for the purpose of electing a United States Senator. Francis E. Warren was selected the winner. Thoughts of the day, the road to success is always under construction. Lily Tomlin. Then we have a recognition to, this is the last day for Levi. And while Levi was gone, he was nominated the Student of the Week. You know, it's a great honor when you're gone and they nominate you. It's one of those things that you don't know sure what it means, but Levi, we've really appreciated if you come over. We've got a resolution that we give to students, and we're going to give you one of those really cool coins, too. Let me put your microphone on here. You've been great. The staff have really enjoyed working with you. Here's the that's cooler than Student of the Week. And here's the coin. Now, the good news is that you get all this. The bad news is it's tradition for you to talk. We'd like you to do it for less than an hour.
Okay. All right. Is my mic on?
Yeah.
Is it on? Ellen warned me that I was probably going to have to do this, so I wrote a couple things down this time. You guys kind of stole my thunder. I was going to talk about being Student of the Week. I won't talk about that. I want to thank the other pages, Linda and Marty, for being so kind to me and helping me through all this process. And I'd like to thank Judy for helping me get this set up and welcoming me down here. I'd also like to thank Ellen for my first day of training and also being so kind and generous to me. And, of course, I'd like to thank everybody out here on the floor in front of me, gentlemen and queen of the Senate. You guys have been amazing to me. It's truly been a pleasure and an honor to witness the amazing work that goes on in this room, and you guys are doing incredible work for this state, and I appreciate that, and I thank you guys. I've enjoyed every minute and every second that I've spent in this room, and it's been an honor. There's probably a million more things that I could say, but I'm so nervous, and I'm in just such awe that my mouth can't articulate what's in my head. So, again, thank you, everyone, for making this such a great experience, and I'll never forget this. And as I'm sitting in my classroom in Laramie, I'll definitely miss this place and everybody in here. So thank you, guys.
Reports from standing committees.
January the 23rd, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 56, Study on Transfer of Public Land. reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emmerich, and Guy, Senator Emmerich, Vice Chairman. January the 23rd, 2015. Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 94, Substance Abuse Assessment Non-Residents, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinski, Von Fladeren, Senator Christensen, Chairman. January the 23rd, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 38, Controlled Substance First Offense for Possession, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinski, Von Fladeren, Senator Christensen, Chairman. January the 23rd, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number five, Agricultural State Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 6, Aquatic Invasive Species, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emmerich, and Geis, Senator Emmerich, Vice Chairman. January the 23rd, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number five, Agricultural State Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 46, Fire Misdemeanors, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emmerich, and Geis, Senator Emmerich, Vice Chairman.
Senator Emmerich.
Mr. President, Senate File 56, Study on Transfer of Public Lands, has an appropriation, and I ask that it be referred to appropriations, sir.
Without objection, Senate File 56 is re-referred to appropriations. Senator Case.
Mr. President, due to kind of workload considerations, I would respectfully ask that Senate File 2, Bar and Grill Liquor Licenses, by Senator Burns, sponsored by Senator Burns, be re-referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. I've talked to the chairman of that committee, and he's willing to take it on.
Thank you. Without objection, Senate File Number 2 is re-referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. I think we're at that order of business of bills on second reading, unless there are other announcements. Thank you. Okay. We're going to lay back Senate File 4 for until the amendment's been distributed. So we're going to begin with the next one, which is Senate File 18, second reading.
Senate File 18, Expungement of Misdemeanors.
Senate File 18, having been read a second time, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Without objection, is so ordered. Senate File 27, second reading.
Senate File 27, Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway.
Senate File 27, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Without objection, is so ordered. Senate File 37.
Senate File 37, State Protection of Data Privacy.
Senate File 37, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Senate File 51.
Senate File 51, Water Development Amendments.
Senate File 51, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 64.
Senate File 64, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act Extension.
Senate File 64, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 65.
Senate File 65, Savings and Loan Associations.
Senate File 65, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 70, second reading.
Senate File 70, Cooperative Electric Utility Rate Adjustment Notice.
Senate File 70, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Are we ready for Senate File 4? Is the amendment been distributed? It has. Senate File 4, second reading.
Senate File 4, Dry Bean Research.
Senate File 4, there is an amendment. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I'd
like
to...
You have the timeout. Would you please read in the amendment, please?
Senate File 4, second reading amendment number 1, page 12 after line 18.
Senator Hicks, sorry about that.
Mr. President, I'd like to move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File number 4. Gentlemen, members of the body, what this does is just go into the standing committee amendment and strikes the new inserted subsection J. This section was debated quite extensively in the interim by the Joint Ag Committee. They stricken it from the bill at that point in time. I don't want to go into a lot of the discussions and reasons for that to happen. But I would ask, what it effectively does is there's no referendum associated with this. In other words, the bean growers are not going to go out and vote whether they want to go ahead and pay this. What this effectively does by putting this penalty clause in there is it makes it a mandatory program. And if you don't participate, we're going to fine you. And you get fined every time you would sell beans. So I think it was the conclusion of the Joint Ag Committee, that it was really a pretty good concept to allow this Bean Commission to go forward, but with the lack of a referendum where the members had a chance to vote, that we wanted to leave them the option of just not participating in that program. As you'll see in the bill, there's already a provision in there that allows them to, even now that we forced them to be in there, to turn around and get their money back out, which just becomes a bureaucratic process for somebody that doesn't want to participate in this program. So, members of the body, I'd ask for a favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment. The question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Senate File 4, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. And, Mr. Vice President, if you'd come forward. Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, second reading.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, Investment of State Funds.
There is an amendment. You got the amendment. It's right there. It's right there.
this your amendment?
Yeah.
Senator Nicholas.
I have to read it.
Oh, here.
You got it?
All right. You got it.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 11.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Ladies and gentlemen, I move Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution Number 2. And you'll recall that this is the amendment to proposed amendment to the Wyoming Constitution. It's a serious matter. It deals with the issue of whether or not and how we will invest the state pooled income. Now, the state pooled income really consists of two major categories of items. So these are the incomes that are invested that are not trust funds. So they do not include the permanent funds, which are the permanent mineral Wyoming trust fund, nor do they include the retirement account. But on balance, we currently sit, there's about $6 billion worth of liquid monies that are being invested by the treasurer for a variety of different purposes. Now, within that money, that category, you have, for example, the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account, approximately $1.8 billion. You have what's been appropriated into the Wildlife Trust Fund. That's a statutory trust that's part of that pool of money. But also within that money, those pool funds, you have things like school capital construction. As I understand, about now there's about $600 million worth of funds being managed for things like school capital construction. Well, while the money is there, certainly you would want to use or invest it wisely. But at the same time, if you appropriate $100 million for a high school, that money needs to be there when the checks are ready to write. And so once the dollars are encumbered for a purpose, and much of this money is encumbered, you simply cannot risk your corpus or the principal that was put into the pooled funds. Having said all that, when the state began, there were restrictions on with respect to what you could do with the monies. And over time, a lot of this money has been put into treasury bonds. And as we sit here today, the investment market is different than it was before. Things are more risky than they were before. And it's time to recognize that even if you're preserving the principal, the corpus of it, you might want to diversify those funds beyond Treasury dollars. The first proposal of this amendment was to amend add a new Section 14. If you go back and look at the original language, though, it said if you get in these monies, you can invest in the same as permanent funds. Then that takes you back to another provision of the Constitution. So we circulated the amendment with the Treasurer's office, with our own staff, and among the staff, and came to the conclusion that it's time to straighten up this Article 16, Section 6, without changing substantively the provisions, but making sure that the new language is self-contained, does not refer back to another constitutional amendment, and create internal conflict. So what we're saying here is that by two-thirds vote, the legislature may invest these funds into capital stock of the association, of any association or corporation. That's the same for permanent funds. They may designate these funds, invested, and prescribe different investment conditions for each fund. And that means we recognize that the policy for the Wildlife Trust Fund may be different than the money that's encumbered for school capital constructions. We do say, though, for those dollars that are encumbered, we do expect the legislature will make as its highest priority the preservation of the corpus of the funds. Now, the other thing that we've done to add more flexibility, which was not contained in the original language, is that for those statutory trusts, like the Wyoming Wildlife Trust Fund, we're providing that you may also provide for the use of the earnings to protect the funds
for inflation proof. So we could now create a SPRAW account and similar type protections for that account. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Senator Nicholas. Discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, I see a couple of problems with this particular amendment. The first one is it takes a two-thirds vote to authorize investment of the funds, but it doesn't, after you've had that initial two-thirds vote, it would appear to me with this language you could increase that authorization with just a simple majority. And the question I have, is that really what we intend? Then the major problem I see is the, I think it's the third sentence, any legislation authorizing investment of these funds, both obligated and statutory trust funds, shall provide that the highest priority for investment is protection of the corpus of the funds. And it says consistent with the fund's purpose. You put that sentence in, it seems to me that you're almost by the terms of that sentence limiting that to very short-term investments that are either U.S. government bonds or guaranteed by the FDIC or some similar federal agency, that you're putting, saying highest priority on preserving the corpus. As we know, longer-term bonds, they fluctuate in value. You aren't necessarily preserving the corpus with those. You clearly are running a risk if you invest in common stocks, so it's somewhat internally inconsistent. And frankly, I think that when you really come down to it, it's not so much preserving the corpus, but ensuring adequate liquidity. And that's a different concept. And then the last sentence, authorizing, I think that's superfluous language. I think we could do that whether or not the sentence is there. And I think several of the other things are excessively wordy. I think it makes the constitutional amendment too long, and I think that's both bad drafting for a constitutional amendment, and makes it more difficult to pass the constitutional amendment because you increase the risk of confusion. I think we haven't quite got this one right yet, and I'd like a little more discussion. Thank goodness it's still second reading, but I have reservations about this particular version of the amendment, although it does make a good deal of sense out of the rest of the amendment, just the way it's set forth. There's some virtues here, but I think there's still some problems.
Senator Ruffus.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I share some of the same concerns with regard to how it would be implemented, and there's an additional one that I'm thinking about, which goes back to the concept of where does the two-thirds authorization have to take place. So, for example, Mr. Vice President, if I'm setting up a fund, a jackalope preservation fund, we'll say arbitrarily, and I want a portion of it 25% in equities. From this language, it's unclear to me whether or not the vote needs to take place when I'm directing funds into it. So if one year I'm putting $100 million into the Jackalope Preservation Fund, is that a two-thirds requirement? And then the next year, if I want to add $25 million more, do I need another two-thirds requirement? Or is it the establishment and characterization of that fund that requires the two-thirds, and then I can appropriate to it under the standard budget appropriation process. I'm unclear on that. I would also be a little unclear on whether there's any requirements, and it sounds like there wouldn't be, on expenditures from that fund or dissolution of the fund, as well as if I want to change the investment parameters. So if I decide that I want the fund to go from 25% to 35% equities, does that require a new two-thirds vote? My suspicion, based on the language, is that it would. And I would reiterate, I share the same concerns as the good senator from Natrona County, the particularly tall one, on the third sentence, requiring that the highest priority for investment is the protection of the corpus of the funds consistent with the fund's purpose, because that sort of precludes the use of equities and predisposes the volatility of the fund. Some circumstances you might want a fund that is a long-term, more volatile fund but with higher yields. Other circumstances you might want an intermediate fund where you have an anticipation of need for the revenue in a shorter period of time. So if it's always the highest priority, it restricts the future legislatures, in my view, unnecessarily, and hopefully they could do that through legislation. But I do, in my view, like the final sentence, I'm not sure it is superfluous that that we can use earnings to protect the funds from inflation and to minimize fluctuations in earnings. It's possible it could be superfluous, but at the same time, it depends on how you interpret the first part, because redirecting money into the fund, if we're assuming that requires a two-thirds majority, we should be able to set that up as a structural component of it without requiring an additional appropriation, in my view, if you want to stabilize and inflation-proof the fund. So I would support keeping that particular language in, but I'm concerned about the third sentence of it, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. Senator Von Flater.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. The only thing that I did see that wasn't included in this, but the original language that was struck said same manner as the permanent funds of the state. So a little bit of worry there that we could be setting ourselves up for 70% of the funds being put in equities. And then I have a question about where the May is. May authorized. So you have a two-thirds, the mechanics of this, you have a two-thirds vote, and then you may authorize. So I would say that you may vote, you may have a two-thirds vote and then authorize, or per the outcome of the vote, the money would be invested or not. But the real question is the same manner as a permanent fund. If the sponsor of the amendment could address that. I do like the language about the priority myself. I think for future generations to actually say that the priority is, that doesn't limit those that know investing a lot more than I do. But I think it, for future generations, that the priority is the corpus.
Thank you, Senator Von Flater, and others. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I just, to pick up on what the senator from Gillette was saying, I just wonder if I have a little bit of concern about the extensive language, too, and whether or not we want to put all of that on a ballot at some point. I just wonder if when we're talking about a constitutional amendment, that would not be more of a policy discussion cut down on some of the language. And then underneath, the procedural part of that is the statutes that we would write once allowed under the Constitution. So I just I have a little bit of concern about maybe a little bit too much verbiage for a constitutional amendment. So, thank you.
For your second time, Senator Ron Flater.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, for my second time. I think this amendment doesn't address what actually is being proposed to go on the ballot. This does everything above that. I believe, if I have this correct, that the ballot language is actually in Section 2, where it says Secretary of State shall include. So, we're not messing with that. It's probably a little long, actually, as it exists, but that's not what this amendment addresses.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Are we ready for a second for the sponsor takes a second time? Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice President. And the President has brought some good ideas to us, and I, quite frankly, some of the concerns, and I think one of the things that maybe the President can explain, originally when we did this, it was two-thirds vote, And the way I interpret it and the way we had it written was not only to invest, but how the legislature would set up to go ahead and the statutes we would have to deal with how we took care of these funds would be two-thirds as well as authorizing it. And the way I read it now, I think it says two-thirds that says that we may authorize investments, but the legislature with 50% can tell by statute how we do it. And that's the first question, and that's a significant change to the way we had the original one. And a little bit more discussion on this language is exactly right in terms of what we want to do with this, but are we putting into the Constitution what we should be deciding on after the funds are invested legislatively in our statutes?
Okay, thank you. Any others before President Nicholas takes his second? President Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. President, it's my intention to provide an explanation, call for the vote. I would like to have the amendment adopted and then ask for the bill to be set down back one more day so that if there's another set of changes, we could continue to make them on second reading. This is a constitutional provision, and it deserves all the attentions. And all the comments that were made are good comments. They need to be resolved. And let me explain to you in response to the questions why we chose this language. To begin with, folks, remember, this is the constitutional language, and as pointed out, this is not what goes on the ballot. The ballot is a smaller description. So the length of it shouldn't bother you with respect to whether it appears on the ballot. You won't see all this on the ballot. The description will be there. Now, having said that, the policy was made at the beginning of statehood that these funds would not be invested in the stock market, any private corporation. And this state has, that policy has stood well for us for a long time. And we're now suggesting to ourselves, are there conditions upon which we would risk this money and put it into other types of investments? And that first term of risk is a kind of an interesting one because historically, putting your money in the treasury bonds was, in fact, one of the safest places you can put it, and there was a decent yield. And as we sit here today, the rules and everything's changed on treasury bonds. First of all, they do have risk. And second of all, we know now that the corpus is at risk because with changing monetary policies, you can buy treasury bonds, and the very next day, things events, and your actual investment in treasury bonds goes down. And the treasurer advises us now that he believes that he could have select out investments which are more secure, and certainly than treasury bonds. And if they weren't more, he at least would have more diversity to allow security, and that would be his primary focus. So as we look forward to the next 100 years, 200 years, to say what would we do to allow the legislature to invest these funds in a broader cross-section of items, what would we do to protect and keep the original protection we intended and provide more flexibility? Well, no matter how you look at it, I submit to you, if you examine the funds, and I'll provide a list of what's in those funds, that $6 billion, you have two discrete different types of dollars. You have those that are encumbered, that are there because the school building as an example. You've gone out, you've said, we're going to build these schools, $600 million worth. But when you voted on it, you knew the money was there, you knew the buildings were going to get built. And as far as you could concern, it was going to go in a passbook. It could be sitting there drawing no interest. You expected the corpus to be there. If you put that into a pool with equities and there's a drop in the stock market as there was in 2008, if you look at the profile of all your trust accounts, your permanent trust accounts, each one of them took a hit, 11 to 22%.
So how do you work it if it's your school? Are they going to take that 22% a drop? Are they going to take it out of your school, or do all the schools get 22%? There's no way for that account to achieve the corpus back because we're not reinvesting in the corpus as we do with the permanent accounts. Permanent accounts, we're putting more money in all the time. We expect it to go up and down like this, and we don't always expect it to be, we're looking there for investment income. But here we expect the corpus there. How would you make up the corpus? You can't take all the interest of this, by the way, goes into the general fund. General fund is not going back in to it. Now, that last provision, what difference it makes to our colleague Casper is that right now all the investment earnings from these accounts go to the general fund. What we're saying is with respect to those statutory trust funds, you could set up a SPRAW-type account where some of the money will be held in a SPRAW account and go back and reinvest in the corpus. So all the revenues do not have to go into the general fund. Right now, all the interest, I said that a little bit wrong, but let's take the Wildlife Trust Fund. All the interest goes into paper.
Senator Nicholas, can you wrap it up? We're out of time.
Ask for your support of the amendment.
Sorry about that. Excuse me. I didn't mean to cut you off. No, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. It is tough.
It wasn't that important. I move. Call for the question.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to Senate Joint Resolution number, excuse me, Senate.
Second reading amendment.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution number 2. Say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
Mr. Chairman.
Motion's passed.
And Mr. Vice President, I would request that the bill be laid back one additional day to allow folks to look at this language and the Treasurer to look at it and see if we can come up with even better language.
No, this will be back to... You want it back? You want it laid back to? You want it laid back for one more day on second reading?
Second reading. All
right. Okay.
Final second reading on Monday.
Without objection, Senate Joint Resolution number 2 will be laid back one day for second reading.
Senator Emmerich.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
With us today is a group of outstanding young people. They're the Wyoming State FFA officers, and they're here to kick off the first ever Wyoming FFA advocacy work. That's easy for you to say.
Easy for you to say.
I hope that word doesn't come up.
Advocacy.
This group of young people was frustrated with a lack of knowledge in society about agriculture and its food products. An idea was hatched to start a campaign dedicated to advocating for agriculture and the FFA members from across Wyoming to organize and run this program. So the Wyoming Agriculture Advocacy Week was born, and that is next week, beginning on the 26th, running to the 1st of or 2nd of February. So I present to you in the gallery Quade Palm, Medicine Bow, Baxter Heinert Powell, Kyle Weber Powell, Austin Burkett Burns, Jess Oldham Lander, Heather Loras Casper, Tyler Clemenson Shoshone, Caleb Green Dayton, Lacey Nelson Tensleep, and Stacia Broder, State FFA advisor. Welcome them, please.
We're at the order of business of bills on third reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. And, Mr. President, I would move the third reading consent list, which is follows. Senate File 8, State Education Accounting. Senate File 9, Right to Farm. Senate File 17, Resident Contractor Materials Preference. Senate File 26, Challenge Loan Interest Rate. Senate File 33, Precinct Committee Person Elections. And Senate File 82, Funeral Services Practitioners Act Amendments.
Would anybody like, any of the members like any of those bills removed?
Yeah,
Senator Coe.
That I would request that Senate File 8, State Education Accountability and Assessment, be laid back for one day.
Without objection, Senate File 8, State Education Accountability and Assessment, is laid back for third reading from Monday. Are there any other requests? If not, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 9, Right to Farm. Senate File 17, Resident Contractor Materials Preference. Senate File 26, Challenge Loan Interest Rate. Senate File 33, Precinct Committee Persons Elections. Senate File 82, Funeral Services Practitioners Act Amendments. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
On the consent list, Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Driscoll excused, Emmerich,
aye.
Escobel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Kinski,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Fladern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Nicholas,
aye.
On the consent list, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 9, are there any changes? Closing vote, closing, vote closed. Senate File 9, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 17, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 17, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 26, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Hicks, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 26, 25 aye, 4 no, 1 excused. Senate File 33, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 33, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 82, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 82, 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate Files 9, 17, 26, 33, and 82 have passed the Senate. Bills with amendments. Have you already removed 8? I think you have. Senate File 5, third reading.
Senate File 5, Quebec Number 1 Historic Site 3, sponsored by the Travel Committee. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Would you please read in third reading amendment number 1.
Senate File 3, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 4.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 5 and would ask that you refer to Senator Pappas for the explanation of the amendment.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. As you all recall, that last amendment was withdrawn, and so we've made some changes that will conform to some of the wishes of some of the senators, and I think it's a good amendment. So let me take you through the amendment. Basically, line 1 through 2 requires for reporting and is inserted in line 4 of the bill. The lines 4 through 18 of the amendment basically removes the acceptance of the land as a land transfer. And instead of the original language, what we're doing now is providing for a lease or use of Quebec One Missile Alert Facility. And also authorizes the legislature negotiate this lease or use agreement. It does remove the requirement for transfer in these paragraphs. However, if you go down to lines 22 of the amendment, beginning on 22, we are inserting a new paragraph, actually two new paragraphs, paragraph B and paragraph C. Paragraph B will basically is the language, same language that was in the original amendment. However, the use or lease agreement has been replaced in lieu of the transfer that we had prior. And also, all of the language regarding the Air Force Instruction 327066 that requires that baseline environmental baseline survey is still in there, and the environmental assessment, which has been done, has shown, just for your information, that there aren't any contaminants that are harmful to the human environment. However, this baseline study will actually finalize the contamination reporting requirements. Also, under this section, there was a concern about who we were reporting to, and so this allows the reporting to be sent back to the Cultural Resources Interim Committee and to the governor. If we move on to Section C, we have also included the ability for the governor to take ownership of the Quebec One site, should he, in his best think, in his best in the best interest of the state, we should actually own it rather than lease it or have a use agreement. So that provides language to actually transfer the property to the state of Wyoming. On page 2 of the amendment, there's some lines 6 of the amendment, line 8 of the amendment, and line 12 of the amendment basically cleans up the language so that we include the execution of the use or lease agreement. So that's the amendment. Any questions? I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion on the amendment. There being no discussion, the question having been called for, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 1, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're now back on the bill. Is there further discussion? There being none, the Senate File 5 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case? Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll excused. Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer? Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platerin?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 21 aye, 8 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 5, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 5 has passed the Senate. Senate File 11, third reading.
Senate File 11, Selling to Junk Dealers, ID Required, sponsored by Senator Christensen. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. If the clerk would please read in the amendment.
Senate File 11, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this is the bill on selling to junk dealers. It's needed to get good practice so that the junk dealers don't become an outlet for people that steal materials. And it's got some appropriate safeguards in there to prevent that. No problem with those. The difficulty I have is that I think that if they, in order to receive small amounts, and it would be particularly aluminum cans and other household aluminum that are commonly recycled, you've got a procedure there on, you can see it on lines 11 through 18, that would delay the process of buying those, would cause them to incur some expense. That's a pretty low margin kind of business, and I'm afraid if we don't put in an exception for that kind of material, the common household goods, and read that as aluminum cans currently, will essentially restrict that to just the public recycling collections and eliminate the private businesses because it won't be worth the trouble. So what this amendment does is say you don't have to comply with those two paragraphs for common household and personal items less than $50 value, so you can still take your 10 pounds of cans or 20 pounds of cans to the commercial recycling center and get a few cents for them. That's all this amendment does. Otherwise, I think we'll have an unintended consequence of restricting that recycling, which is quite valuable. Mr. President, if I haven't moved the amendment, I do, and I urge the Senate to adopt it.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I understand the concept, and I'm probably okay with the concept, but it doesn't necessarily imply an aggregate of the value of the materials, but as phrased, could imply that I could sell, say, 50 objects at $40 each, and I believe I'm still okay under the language of this amendment, which is contrary, I think, to the interest of the amendment, as well as goes against and defeats the heart of the bill. So I guess I'm concerned with the language, and I'd ask the sponsor if I'm misinterpreting. I know I'm misinterpreting the intent, but perhaps misinterpreting the language.
Senator Von Flater.
Thank you, Mr. President. When the sponsor gets up again for a second time, when they say market value, I guess I don't know if they mean market value of what the junk dealer pays him or market value of what the object was when it was new. And if it's a piece ripped out of an object, where's the value? And I also agree and was going to bring up the point about individual times, just always paying $49 until you take care of whatever the value is that is assigned to this piece of valuable junk.
Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. President, the questions were, as I understand, how you determine market value. It has to be market value at the time. I don't see how it could be read any other way, Mr. President. Typically, with an aluminum can, it has a market value when you buy it that's mostly got to do with the content. And after you've drunk the content and it's empty, then the market value is just the market value of the can at the time of purchase. I don't think that's a difficulty. I think it would be read as being less than $50 in each transaction. I can see the claim that you're going to have a whole bunch of transactions, and I suppose somebody who was really dedicated to getting around it could do that. But frankly, that's not going to be an issue with this kind of material. If they're going to cheat that way, they'll do it more directly, I think, in getting away, getting under the bill and get in trouble on that score. So it is unfortunate it's third reading. We can't change the language. Could be done in the House, I suppose. But I don't think it'll have that consequence as a practical matter in the real world. And I think without the amendment, the bill is likely to have the unintended consequence of closing off recycling of these cans. And so I continue to urge adoption of the amendment.
The question is, shall the Senate adopt third reading amendment number 1 to House Senate File 11? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're now back on the bill. Further discussion on the bill. Senator Christensen.
Bill, we just want to keep in mind that all these transactions are recorded. The only part this bill added, I mean, current law says we record them. This bill just added that photo ID or license plate records. And so this amendment works to the benefit of the operators. I fully support the amended bill as it is.
Ready for the question? The question having been called for, Senate File 11, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll excused. Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis. Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Johnson,
no.
Kinski,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Ruffus,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Nicholas,
aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 11, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 11 has passed the Senate. Senate File 14, third reading.
Senate File 14, Asset Forfeiture 2, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. If the clerk would please read in the amendment.
Senate File 14, third reading amendment number 1, page 3, line 12 through 19.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move... Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 14 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. This corrects, I think, what is somewhat a technical error, but would have been a problem, was identified by our good president. In the amendment we made yesterday, the way it was stated, it was the way part look at it is this was kind of stated in the negative. And what that did is it created an issue where someone could be charged with multiple counts of felonies, which we could be subject to forfeiture under this act. And then if there was a dismissal, the way the bill is written now, if there's a dismissal of one of those, you could interpret the statute that would require, nevertheless, that there was convictions on others that would require that the property be returned. So what this amendment does, Mr. President, it turns that around and I think makes it clear that it's easier to state it in the other direction, which simply is that all property is returned unless there's a finding or verdict of guilt or an admission of guilt or a plea of nolo contendere to a felony under this act. So I think that clears it up that any conviction of a felony under the act being the Controlled Substance Act, so it's got it still within that act, it has to be a felony, and so conviction of any felony under that act would resolve that problem and resolve the kind of technical error that we found in the bill. We put our best legal beagles, our staff of legal beagles on it, and that was the solution they came up with, and I thought it was fairly elegant. Thank you, Mr. President. We stand for questions, and no questions, ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment? There being none, the question is, should the Senate adopt third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 14? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. If there's no discussion, Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the legislature, the Senate here, quite often these bills, these more complex bills, come out in kind of a rough fashion, and through the workings of an interim committee, the multiple hearings, and the keen eye of our experienced legislators, thank you, Mr. President, for looking closely at these, the product always seems to improve itself, and this is one of those cases that has come to my attention through emails and some comments that we've been receiving a few letters of concern, and I would just suggest that some of these letters of concern that you may have received emails are based on comments that were made prior to a report that the good senator who presented this bill so eloquently described. there are some concerns out there, and the case was made with the handout you received in the initial presentation committee of the whole, and the emails you are receiving. I believe some of those are regarding comments that were made in committee when it was described as we've never seen this problem in Wyoming. We know now that there is at least one example of that supports this bill, and I just ask you to consider that when you weigh your vote on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senate File 14, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members of the elected. Not yet, it hasn't. I just need to move up one script higher. Are you ready for the question? Senate File 14, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk shall read the roll. Call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll excused. Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins? Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
No.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Cooper, no to aye. Closing vote. Closing, vote closed. 26 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 14, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 14 has passed the Senate. Ready? Ready for General File? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business. Bills on general file.
Go ahead.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, second bill on general file. There's been a committee report done and signed, and if it's at the front desk, can we get that? It's not? Okay.
So we'll move the, if that's still on the general file list, we'll just ask that it be moved to the back for consideration. What number is it? It's number 88. So number 88 is, I believe, will still be on general file, depending on the majority floor leaders and direction, but it will be placed at the rear of the bills. Senator Bebout, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole, discuss bills on general file, and Mr. President, we'll put 88 at the end of the list, but it has to. We'll have to wait and see how we do on that. If we get to it, fine. If not, we'll put it on the next day list.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion's been adopted. Would Senator Escobel please approach the bench?
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 85. The reading clerk will read the Senate File 85.
Senate File 85, Adult Foster Care Pilot Project, sponsored by Senator Scott. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
Now, you've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee of the whole rise and report to do so with the recommendation that Senate File 85 do pass. There were no standing committee amendments, and I'll explain the Senate file. Members of the Senate, this relates to a concept that we passed in 2008 called the adult foster homes. What they are basically small family-like residences that can handle up to five clients. People typically go into them at the point when most people would go into an assisted living, but because of the family atmosphere, they tend to stay in these homes well into the time that the assisted living would have kicked them out to the nursing home, and don't go to the nursing home until the patients become so disabled that they require around-the-clock nursing care. The president was put onto this concept initially by discussion with some people at my church who said they had in-laws in one of these houses, Oregon, Portland, Oregon, where they've been very successfully used, and it was a very good solution to the problems that they had in Oregon. The problem the family had with aging, basically aging parents. It's been very popular in those states. It helps keep their costs for nursing home care down. And Wyoming, it has the additional benefit, is it might well fit a small town very well, where a full nursing home would be more than the town could economically support. Although I think it might do very well in a larger community as well. The Department of Health came to the committee, Labor Committee, with a whole list of statutory cleanup things. Some of their other items were pretty controversial, and we didn't proceed on that list. But this is a small piece of it. The testimony from the Department of Health committee that they removed these two pieces that are being revealed, which have to do with evacuation speed and the physical characteristics of the rooms involved, that give them more flexibility, and they thought they'd have a better chance of actually getting some of these established from state. And we had a potential provider come and testify that that was in fact accurate. We, for the first time, started to see some of these. So it does repeal those two provisions, and it loosens that up a bit so they have the flexibility to deal with that. Mr. Chairman, that's the bill. I can have to answer any questions.
Question.
Question being raised. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 85. All those in favor of Senate File 85, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Senate File 85 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 94. Will the reading of the clerk read Senate File 94?
Senate File 94, Substance Abuse Assessments, Non-Residents, sponsored by Senator Christensen. It was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinski, Von Flader, and Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You read the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Christensen.
Mike.
I'm technologically challenged. I'm trying.
on now. Need some help over here.
How's that?
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 94. Mr. Chairman, this Senate file bill comes as a request from our county attorney. Received a phone call the other day that said we'd recently passed a bill that had to do with requiring a substance abuse assessment by a state certified provider. And what took place was in our community with the visitors rolling through, we had a visitor from another state as far away as you can get in the continental United States, Florida, who received a DUI. In the process of the adjudicatory process, they found out that he needed to return to Jackson to have that appraisal by a Wyoming substance abuse provider. And this little bill, all it asks is that we allow a non-resident to be able to receive a substance abuse assessment from a provider certified in that person's state of residence. And you'll see that new language on page 2, lines 6 through 9. What in our committee conversations, we further explored this and found out that in all 50 states, there is one certification or another that provides for state certified assessors in these matters. And so they have access to them. If by some chance there's a problem, we also found out that Wyoming Corrections had the ability to help with a teleconference assessment from anywhere in the country. So this just opens it a little bit further so citizens that are from out of state don't have to return to Wyoming to meet this condition. I'd stand for questions.
Thank you, Senator Christensen. Questions? Discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so the favorable recommendation of Senate File 94. All those in favor, say aye. Opposed? Senate File 94 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 38. Meeting clerk, read Senate File 38.
Senate File 38, Controlled Substances, First Offense for Possession, sponsored by Senator Case. It was referred to Committee Number 1 Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinski, and Von Fladeren. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 38. To provide the discussion and comments on that, I'd ask you to call on Senator Case.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm bringing Senate File 38 to you on behalf of a public defender who has noticed a bit of an inconsistency in our statutes with regard to the interplay of the penalties and available programs for use of a narcotic substance versus possession. Chairman, both of these crimes can be misdemeanors. Possession can also be a felony, and that's not, I don't think we're really talking about that here. But what happens is, if you are charged with the crime of possession, Mr. Chairman, which at a minimum is a potentially a one-year felony, a one-year misdemeanor, up to 1 year. Use is up to 6 months. And so, but with respect to the plea on possession, you can qualify for a program called the 301. And the 301 program means that if you're very responsible. Don't get in any more trouble. You pass drug tests for a period of time, your sentence will be deferred. And so your sentence is deferred, and if you're good, then it goes away. That's not available for use, but it's available for possession. Use is actually a lesser charge. But since if you're arrested and you're charged with use, the tendency can be for your defender to say, look, if you plead to a little bit more severe charge of possession, you have the opportunity to qualify for the 301. Well, I'm not sure that that's really fair, Mr. Chairman, so I brought a bill that says let's have use qualify for the 301 as well, and that'll keep that situation from happening, make sure they're charged with the proper crime. Mr. Chairman, another point I would make is that if you have any priors, then you do not qualify for the 301 procedure, including a prior of use. So you can be have use one time, and you're caught and you serve time for that. You come back in, you're caught for possession. You're disqualified from doing that because of your prior thing with use. But if it's possession, you could have qualified for the 301 for the first time around. And I know that's probably clear as mud, but it's a situation where people perhaps are not being charged appropriately because they qualified for a program. I'm saying let's catch them while it's a lesser crime. Let them qualify for the program. It's a one-time shot, 301, and it would be very useful in our college towns, for example, where many, many people can be charged with use, which is a drug offense that stays on your record forever. Whereas if you were to plead to a higher charge with a greater potential penalty of possession, you could potentially get that off your record and go through the deferred sentencing, Mr. Chairman. That's why I bring the bill.
Questions? Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, on and for the bill. As we discussed it this morning, we had a great conversation from a number of different people. Yep, we're there. But one of the things that really surfaced on this is the charge of use is quite often used as more of a citation offense, working through a crowd on the 4th of July, and it's a ticket writing offense, and generally looked at as a lower offense. And people, by not understanding the system, may not know if they go up a charge, they can get it, they have a chance to get it removed. And so I'd suggest we look at this. It's more consistent, and it gives these people a fair shot at justice, and they don't necessarily have to be wise to the ways of the law.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, I know that the senator from Papoji knows a lot about drugs and chemicals. I'm wondering on your lines there if there's a new one named Marijuana that he's referring to in that line.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Any other discussion? Any discussion? Discussion? Question being called? Oh.
I suggest on the 10-4 maybe a good idea not to make. I can't actually, but I don't know about this, but I think maybe it's from here. It's like an intervention.
A need for a technical
correction about something I have no experience
with. I would be happy.
Thank you, Senator Gase. Question being called. All those in... Senator Scott.
I think that's just an alternate spelling. It's a little archaic.
Very well. Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Gase's motion... Then when the committee of the whole rises to report, that to do so the favorable recommendation of Senate File 38. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate File 85 has passed the committee of the whole. 38 has passed the committee of the whole. Before we get to the next bill, I'd like to take the privilege of the floor, like my fellow senators and Her Royal Highness. the Queen to join me in welcoming my wife and my daughter who are over here in the upstairs, my wife Jacqueline and my daughter Stephanie. They're good pastors' daughters. Thank you. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 6. Will the reading clerk read Senate File 6?
Senate File 6, Aquatic Invasive Species, sponsored by Senator Burns. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agricultural, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emmerich, and Geis. Senator Emmerich, Vice Chairman.
Senator Emmerich.
Mr. Chairman, I move when your committee of the whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable consideration on Senate File 6, Aquatic Invasive Species, and to tell us more than we would ever wish to know about quagga mussels, the good fireworks chairman from Sheridan.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this bill is as simple as they come. It's basically a housekeeping bill. When we started the Aquatic Invasive Species Program to try and intercept boats before they could infest any of our waterways with quagga mussels and zebra mussels and other aquatic invasive species, we started at the lakes and reservoirs in the state. In those cases, we involved state parks in it. What has happened as the public has gotten educated in the program and the program has evolved, the guy who has his boat in Casper and goes to Alcova and that's it really isn't our problem anymore. So the maintenance of the program and the carrying on of the program has transferred entirely over to Game and Fish. And, Mr. Chairman, that's all this bill does is it removes state parks and cultural resources from any operation of the Aquatic Invasive Species Program. The other thing it does is on page 7, line 2, it updates and allows Game and Fish to be able to sell the licenses for the boats electronically and sets it up so that they can set up by commission or rule. And so we get rid of the we expunge the language on line 11 that requires them to have the sticker on the boat itself because they could have the paper that they printed out from their computer. Mr. Chairman, the only other thing to mention here is on section 2, we're repealing Statute 23-4204C, and that was the language that that authorized state parks to take and collect fees and so forth. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll be welcome any questions. If not, I'll vote.
Discussion? Question being called? All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion, they want the Committee of the Whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 6. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Senate File 6 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 46. Clerk, read Senate File 46.
Senate File 46, Fire Misdemeanor, sponsored by Senator Geis. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agricultural, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emmerich, and Geis. Senator Emmerich, Vice Chairman.
Senator Emmerich.
Mr. Chairman, I move in your committee of the whole rise and report it do so with a favorable consideration of Senate File 46, Fire Misdemeanors, and I would refer to the good senator from northern part of the state.
Senator Geis.
Mr. Chairman,
Senate File 46 is brought to me by the State Fire Marshal and the Association. And all we did in the statutes, it goes to 6-3105, negligence in burning ground penalties. And in the statute, why we had in it that over on page 2, line 1, wooded prairies or grounds, and we had two or three big fires, two up in Washoe County and one in Park County. They could not prosecute the person because the fire didn't start in a wooded area. It started in someone's yard. And that's why all this bill does is take out wooded prairie, and it'll read set fires in any grounds or do anything, or grounds which the property authority of whoever owns it. And it's on page, line 1, 7, 15. And that's all this bill does, is just take out the wooded areas so that if somebody starts a fire in their backyard and it spreads, why, they can prosecute them. The judge threw these out because, the one up in Cody is a couple of kids pushed a car off of the cliff and they had rifles and shot a lot of holes in it and the car caught on fire. Then it set everything fire. And the judge said, well, it didn't start. The car caught on fire, so he couldn't persecute the kids. And then the one in our area, which burned up a lot, almost burned up 13 homes, it started in his backyard, and then he went to town and left it burn, and it got away, and that was pretty serious. So I'd ask for a favorable vote on Senate File 46.
Thank you, Senator Geis. Discussion? Question being called? All those in favor of Senator Emmerich's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 46. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? I'm sorry, Senator Burns? No, I thought I heard you say something. No. Neither majority party can make. Well, we need a majority motion to have the majority floor leader join the floor. Oh. The report has not been read in. We need a majority vote by the floor for the majority leader to join the body. We need a motion.
Here it comes.
We'll stand at ease at the sound of the gavel. Committee of the Whole will come back to order. Majority floor leader,
there.
Now I got you. Senator Bebaum? We need a.
Mr. Chairman.
There we go. Yep. Hold it right.
Mr. Chairman.
There we go.
Mr. Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor?
Privilege, yeah, yes. It's
great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I want to do is we're going to beg leave to rise and sit again, and we'll go back into the Senate. We'll read in Senate File 88, go back into Committee of the Whole, and get it done before noon. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All in favor, motion is passed. Mr. President.
You understand what I want to try to do, Phil?
Yeah. We're now in recess, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct, Mr. No?
Stand by. So we're going to consider one more bill. Pardon me? Can we do, we're going to go back to general file, there's that. We're going to do these, we're going to do general file. I'll give these while we're doing that, and then I'll read them afterwards. Standing committee reports.
January the 23rd, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 88, Emergency Care, Stroke, and Acute Heart Attack Patients, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
That clear the work for now? Do you have any more reports to read in? Messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, January the 23rd, 2015, message, third reading, passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below pass the House third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 8, Landowner Indemnification, ayes 60. House Bill number 21, Interstate Succession Adopted Children, ayes 60. House Bill 49, Confidentiality of Participants Involved in Execution, ayes 41, noes 14, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. From the House of Representatives, January 23rd, 2015, message, third reading passed amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below pass the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill number 15, Restoration of Voting Rights by Department of Corrections, ayes 57, noes 3. House Bill number 30, Deposits and Depositories, ayes 60. House Bill number 58, Developmental Disability Services Transition Grants, ayes 49, noes 10, conflict 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
I'm ready for these. Can I just go do them, or do you need a shoot? Bills on first reading. Senate File 100, first reading.
Senate File 100, Prescription Drug Monitoring Programs Amended, sponsored by Senator Escobel.
Hold on. Senate File 100 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 110, first reading.
Senate File 110, State Education Accountability and Assessment 2, sponsored by Senator Rothfuss.
Senate File 110 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 111, first reading.
Senate File 111, Summary Probate Proceedings, sponsored by Senator Perkins.
Senate File 111 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 113, first reading.
Senate File 113, Mule and White-tailed Deer Separate Hunting Seasons, sponsored by Senator Driscoll.
Senate File 113 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File 114, first reading.
Senate File 114, Game and Fish Resident Preference Point, sponsored by Senator Driscoll.
Senate File 114 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File 115.
Senate File 115, Discrimination, sponsored by Senator Rothfuss.
Senate File 115 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 116, first reading.
Senate File 116, Legislature Compensation, sponsored by Senator Johnson.
Senate File Number 116 is assigned to Committee Number 12, Rules. Senate File 117, first reading.
Senate File 117, Air Quality Construction Permitting, sponsored by Senator Bebout.
Senate File 117 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 112.
Senate File 112, Criminal Stalking, sponsored by Senator Kraft.
Senate File 112 is assigned to Committee Number 1 to consider Stalking of Queens. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business. Bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself back into Committee of the Whole to discuss the only bill on general file, Senate File 88.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. Senator Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 88. Reading Clerk, would you read the bill?
Senate File 88, Emergency Care, Stroke, and Acute Heart Attack Patients, sponsored by Senator Kraft. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 88 do pass. There was a standing committee amendment. I ask it be read in at this time.
Read the
Senate File 88, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 13.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. Mr. Chairman, what the Standing Committee Amendment does is it goes into the new language on page 2 at line 13, and the Health Department felt that the language in the bill as introduced needed to be softened a little and emphasized that they're going to cooperate with the EMS people And in addition, the language probably needed a little improvement. So what your committee did was rewrote the Section 5, and for convenience, we have taken out all the existing Section 5 and put a new one in, and they're going to develop evidence-based protocols for the EMS people to use. They're going to do it in cooperation and coordination with the EMS people, developing those protocols. And that's important because if they're involved in it, you'll have a much better buy-in and much better adoption. And that's important. So that's the Standing Committee Amendment, and I urge its adoption.
Any questions on the amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Scott's Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 88, please say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Standing Committee number 1 to Senate File 88 has passed the Committee of the Whole. We're back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I yield to Senator Kraft, who is sponsor of the bill.
Senator Scott, Kraft. I'm sorry, Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 88 adds to existing statute. What this does is adds in addition to what we already have. We already have heart attack receiving and referring centers. We already have comprehensive and primary stroke centers. This adds an acute ready stroke center, or acute stroke ready center, rather, to the definition. And what that is, that's a small facility. That's a smaller facility. It's not located by a primary or comprehensive stroke center, and it's the one that serves our rural population, our small cities. We really felt the need to add this in to provide additional coverage and additional communication and collegial work between all these groups. Someone who was testifying in favor of the bill this morning said, it shouldn't matter where you live if you live. That to me, said it very greatly. So that's part of it. The second part is adding in the emergency medical services providers. They will now, as the good senator that chairs Labor Health said, they will now be working with the Department of Health to develop protocols for emergency medical services. We're really expecting that this will have a great impact in the time, and we all know that time is of the essence, especially when someone is experiencing a stroke. Time is of the essence, but so is proper treatment. There are two different kinds of strokes, and if you treat one thinking it's the other one, you've made this situation so much worse. So our emergency medical folks are very much in support of this simply because they want to have these protocols. They want to be able to have that communication. It's also very clear that our state is very unique, and we can't just have the Department of Health put a set of protocols together. These need to be developed locally. Locally and in consultation with the Department of Health, because we know we can't do a one-size-fits-all. So the intent of the bill is to make sure that those people who are experiencing a stroke are diagnosed appropriately, treated as quickly as possible, and eventually transported in as timely a manner as possible to the hospital that's most capable of hopefully saving their lives. That's the gist of the bill. I would ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kraft. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I've not been involved in this bill, but I will tell the Senate this is my candidate for the best small bill of the session. The situation you've got with strokes is when you have one, if you can get the proper treatment rapidly, and this is the one where it's just an hour or two you've got. A few minutes may make a big difference. If you can get the proper treatment, you survive, and you survive with a lot less permanent effects that destroy the quality of life. And you have to identify quickly in the field, and they can do it with the proper training, the proper protocol. Is it a stroke? And then you have to get the patient transported to the right place That's why the designation of the centers is important. And what they have to do, if it's a stroke that's a blockage, you treat it with a clot-busting mechanism. If it's a stroke, and that's about 80% of them, 80, 90% of them, if it's a stroke that's a bleed, the clot-busting mechanism might well kill you. It'd certainly make it much worse. And then you need to transport them somewhere that can deal with that bleeding. And the way you tell is with a CT scan and a trained nurse and doctor team there. So you need to get to the center that has those, and then on, if it's a bleeding stroke, to another center that can effectively deal with that, where you got a little more time. This bill potentially save a lot of lives nationally as these things have been implemented. Stroke has gone from the third leading cause of death to the fifth. So we're seeing a major improvement. So this is one bill I commend to the Senate that's going to make a major difference in improvement.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I won't take a long time, only to say I think this is a good bill, a tremendous bill. Recently had personal family experience in this area of stroke in a rural area. I won't criticize the process that was used because most people had to use the assets that were available. They did well under the circumstance. But had something like this been in place, we might have had a much better outcome. So with that, I'd simply say I can't speak strongly enough in support of this. I'll also say in our family experience of stroke, and I personally dodged the bullet by some surgery on a carotid this past summer, but saying that, you know, the state of Oklahoma, for some reason, has a tremendous amount of strokes within their population, and they have done and taken the effort of doing many of these things like this. So I would just simply say, given the rural nature of my district, if I want to be a little selfish, I can't think of anything that could help us more. And as a family member, it certainly would have helped at that time. So, again, I would congratulate the Queen in regard to her very forward thinking on this and hope that you would support it.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Yes, Senator Cooper.
Mr. Chairman. Come on. Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. It will not, and thank you for asking that question. This is all done within existing department resources, existing department staff. The Department of Health testified in committee this morning and are willing to go forward with this. So there is absolutely no additional cost.
Question, any other discussion on the Senate File 88?
Question on the bill.
All those in favor of Senate File 88, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate File 88 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Before we get to Majority Floor Leader, Senator Langdon, do you have some questions? Or? Yes, you may.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to recognize a good friend of mine. We date back a long, long way. He represents and is mayor of one of the finest little towns in the world. He has a mayor that has built a bill line to do this at the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Langdon. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Bebout. Apparently we're having some technical problems, Senator Bebout, so if you would speak out.
I can speak out.
Thank you.
Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole write a report.
You heard the motion. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Any opposed? No? Thank you.
Mr. President.
Pardon? We have problems with
the motion. Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Document restates the motions.
The we've got some problems with the microphones, but we'll take care of that as we go. So will the clerk please read the committee whole report. Mr. Chairman, do you have a motion? Chairman Escobel moved for the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report. You've heard the motion. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion is carried and the report has been adopted. Yeah, clear the desk. Do we have any other motions? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk. So the majority floor leader made the motion to adjourn until Monday at 10 a.m. on January 26th. We have announcements. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet at 8 a.m. in the normal committee room. We're going to try to finish up our work on Senate File 3. Right to try, deal with amendments. Then we're going to have a chiropractor's day, Senate File 79, Title of Chiropractors, Senate File 90, Medicaid Chiropractor Services 2. And then we'll deal with Senate File 62, Oral Chemotherapy Parity, which we will almost certainly hear a presentation on and lay back for a subsequent meeting to finish up our work on.
Senator Cole.
Mr. President, committee number 4, education, will be Monday morning at 8 o'clock at our meeting room to take up Senate File 98, School Athletic Safety, and Senate File 101, Veterans In-State Tuition.
Senator Johnson. Senator Roth.
Thank you, Mr. President. The committee number 2, appropriations, continue to meet with the life committee in the House on noon recess and then adjourn here to continue our market of the budget. On Monday, the Senate appropriations, we will meet at 11 at noon. Here are the referrals as fast as possible.
Senator Christensen. Senator Von Flader. Senator Ross.
Mr. President, I forgot to mention also that on Monday morning at 8 a.m. we will be considering the ground rock portion of our marker
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would highly recommend that the senators gather for lunch today. If we don't consume it, Mr. President, those were not my words. Those were came from some loyal people right over there.
Are there any further motion notices? So you've heard the motion of the majority floor leader to adjourn until Monday. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. The Senate shall stand adjourned until Monday at 10 a.m. And...